Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What is life like when you reach retirement? What goes on in the heart of a retired person? How do you spend your time after reaching the goal of retirement? Alvin Kawazoe retired as a customer service representative in 2016. He's with us to share his insights on life and life with Christ. In fact, we pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio program, my friend, is to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. To Jesus who loves you so much, like he's loved Alvin and Suzanne and me. He loves you so much that he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ, who has touched Alvin, as you will soon hear, is calling out to you. Will you respond to him? You might say, Danny, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've been through and who I've hurt or the mistakes I've made. I'm trying to get away from that, you say. Let me get my life together and then maybe I'll consider Jesus. But I tell you, the Lord Jesus will say to you, as he said to us, no. You don't have to wait to clean all that up. Just come with a repentant heart of humility before God and open your heart to Jesus now, even in the pain, even in the brokenness. Alvin Kawazoe studied at Sacramento State University. He served in the United States Air Force. He's married to Charlotte. They are members of Kalihi Union Church. Alvin, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Where did you grow up?
Here in Kalihi, not too far from this location, maybe about 6 or 8 blocks away from here.
Kalihi. I was going to say Kalihi man, but Kalihi boy mm-hmm. as well, huh?
Yeah, I just went to school all in the Kalihi area, from Kalihi Waena School to Kalakaua Intermediate and a governor from Farrington High School.
Mm-hmm. A lot of great people from Farrington High School, the governors. I think one of the most beautiful alma maters that there is. My mother also graduated Farrington, yes. And she mm-hmm. would sing that song. Who influenced you most, Alvin, in your growing up years?
Well, I guess I think mostly it was my mom. When she became a Christian in about 1957 or so, she kind of influenced the rest of us, my older brother and my dad. And she always said she was praying for us. And by her faithfulness, I guess her prayers were eventually answered for myself and eventually for my dad. I'm still praying for my older brother. He's still out there walking. Not yet.
You said your mother's prayers were answered. How were they answered? How did you become a Christian?
Well, after she became a Christian, I guess it's slightly before 1957, but she always used to really boast about being baptized at Kalihi Union Church in 1957, one of the first people to get baptized in the new sanctuary, which is now the old sanctuary. It was built in 1957, so she was one of the few that first got baptized there, and she always said, I prayed for you because grew up going to Sunday school, but that was it. And after went through junior high and high school, my life changed.
In what way?
Well, I was one of those that never really studied hard in school. Although, you know, I was really fortunate, and I guess looking back, you know, gifted by God to have at least intelligence enough to graduate from high school without flunking or anything else, although I never went to classes too often. But when I got out of high school, those days, parents used to say, you got to go to college, you got to go to university. So I said, well, I wasn't interested, but I did. Took the entrance exam at the University of Hawaii and everything else. But those days, you had to get approval from your high school. And my high school teacher said, no, you're not ready for college. So I never got approved. So they said, UH said at that time, and said, oh, well, you know, you got to get this, approval. So I told my folks, well, I can't go to school. So my dad said, well, you either get drafted or go into service. So that's when I decided, well, I didn't want to do anything else, go into the Army or anything. So that's when I decided to join the Air Force and served 4 years overseas and stateside as well. Just doing my own thing during those years, and never had the Lord in those days. I was just doing my own thing, I guess. And that's when finally gained stateside is when I met my my first wife, my ex-wife, that we met in California, and eventually got married. In fact, got married in the Buddhist church because religion had nothing to, I had nothing to do with it. So went through the whole thing about, you know, getting married in a Buddhist church. And I didn't know what was going on because they were speaking in Japanese and I cannot speak the language. So I never understood what the priest was saying. But after we finished, he said we were married. So that's how it happened. And lived in California, went through school there, eventually graduated from Cal State University, had two children born in California. And that's when, I guess, the first time that maybe God had an influence. Well, not an influence, but something happened in my life at that time when my son, who was number two, as you had said earlier, you know, my son Samuel, he was born in November, so this was in about January of 75 or so. He contracted spinal meningitis, and as a 3-month-old baby, you know, you really don't know what's happening, yeah, because even the doctors, they diagnosed that, they said due to the symptoms, they did a test with a spinal tap and they discovered it was spinal meningitis. So the doctor said, well, we don't know what can happen. Things happen, you know, maybe 10% survive, etc. But we were very fortunate that the doctor that did the diagnosis at that time at the emergency hospital had just come from Texas, where they had an epidemic of meningitis. So he saw a lot of the symptoms, so he caught it pretty early. But he still said, you know, we don't know if we caught it early enough, since it was only a 3-month-old baby. So when he was in isolation, that's when I remember that going into that isolation, just one person at a time, and he was in like an incubator. You stick your hands inside to touch the child, but you can't, you know, pick him up or anything else. And I remember my son just grabbing my index finger and hanging on, although, you know, that was the only thing, and going through like convulsions, etc. And I prayed and I said, you know, God, if you let my son live, I'll do whatever you say. You know, I'll do, you know, whatever. And this was something that, in, you know, like in an emergency or whatever, a panic situation, you just pray whatever you have to pray, like they say, a foxhole prayers or whatever. And that was my prayer. My mom, who was a member at Galilee Union Church at the time, was also setting up a prayer chain for members and, you know, people at the church, and they were praying for my son, she told me later on. But all in all, what happened was that after about, I think it was about 10 to 20 days of isolation, etc., he came out of it, and doctor said they did another spinal tap, and everything was clear, and he was completely, you know, free from that, you know, the meningitis. We didn't know what would be the results, because they said you never can tell until later on if there's any, you know, side effects, etc. And I've seen people who have gone through it with meningitis, have lost hearing, people have got, you know, other things have happened because it affects the fluid around the brain and everything else. So, but he's now, I guess, almost, well, since 19, he was born in 1974, so, you know, he's in his late 40s or so. There's nothing wrong with his, I mean, if you look at him, he's kind of big, he's bigger than me. Anyway, but he got completely 100% free from the any effects of the meningitis.
The Lord heard and answered prayer, the prayers of many people at Kalihi Union Church and other places that the Lord placed on their heart to pray for Sam. You're listening to Alvin Kawazoy, Sam's father, share his story. This is part of his journey of faith. I asked him earlier how he became a Christian. This is part of the story. My friend, as you're listening to Alvin today, now, perhaps in your journey of faith, there have been moments where you have done your own foxhole prayer. Things have been so desperate and so bleak, and you called out to God, and God answered. What was the result after that in your life? Well, when we come back, Alvin will share the relationship, how his relationship with God was impacted by that. You may be surprised by what he says. Perhaps there are moments when we don't react the way we think we're going to react, or maybe even the way we said we were going to react. I don't know all the details, but Alvin will fill us in with more. And this is a heart-to-heart time, as you can tell, as you can feel. I want you to stay with us, okay? We'll be right back with much more. Stay with
us. Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiowa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Sam Kawazoe was healed of spinal meningitis as an infant, and the Lord intervened. And in answer to prayer, the prayers of many people, many loved ones, many friends there at church, Kalihi Union Church, Alvin Kawazoe, his father, called out to the Lord. This was part of his journey of faith in Christ as a follower of Jesus. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here, my co-host Suzanne Maurer with us. If you're tuning in right now, maybe caught the tail end of our last segment, hey, you can get this program in its entirety as a gift to you. Just go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, and as you listen to it, as you share it, send it with a prayer, because I believe it'll be a blessing to a dear family member or friend. Alvin, the Lord touched Sam. I know Sam. Sam has grown. I've known Sam for many, many years. But your faith in that process, how did things develop from there?
Well, before I tell you about my conversion, a little correction. He was born in 1971, not 74. I kind of got things mixed up. Anyway, so, you know, that was in 1972 when I said that prayer in that hospital room. And we moved back to Hawaii after I had finished school at Sacramento in about, you know, 1975 or so. And I was going through some times when, first of all, you know, looking for work, signing jobs, finally ending up with different type of work. And one thing led to another, and I started getting involved in some drugs, drug problems. First of all, it started out with just smoking pot, you know. Used to have a few drinks, beer and hard liquor and going out night clubbing, etc. Then somebody turned me on, so I started smoking marijuana for a while. Went through a series of times, and eventually my children's parent mother and I got divorced, and so after we split up and we went our separate ways, I got even more heavily involved with doing a little more, and from marijuana started doing cocaine. It was a time that one thing leads to another, and you start meeting people who give you connections. So you meet all of these other guys who deal and sell or whatever, and you know, so it got to the point that just being short of being a big dealer or anything else like that, I was a connection for a lot of people, you know, guys would say, oh, guys at work, hey, can you get me some stuff, et cetera. So started doing that, you know, for a little while. And because you know the guy who gets the sauce and everything else, they turn you on and, oh, you end up with a whole bunch of stuff. And, you know, before you know it, it was just free-flowing. And got to the point that marijuana had no effect on me. I mean, you know, I used to go through so much of it, an ounce of it in less than a few days, and you know, it wasn't enough. Started doing cocaine, and somebody turned me on to some other stuff, and started doing all of this, doing the drugs, drinking, living alone, because after the divorce, I kind of got, still had a job. I was, because I used to spend so much money doing everything else, was kind of semi-homeless. I was in a boarding house, actually. You know, I had a regular job because I had a company car and everything else, but I used to live in a boarding house, where two other adults in a three-bedroom house and one bathroom and a kitchen, and we all shared and everything else. And that was where I lived for a few years, and going from one thing to another and bouncing around. And eventually I said, you know, life is getting lonely. It's, you know, I guess at that time I was in my 30s. And I saw an old friend that was going through some real rough time at that time itself. And eventually told me that, you know, he told me, and he passed away from leukemia. But I had asked him one day, I said, hey, you know anyone that I can have a date with? Because it was getting Christmas time, and the company was having a Christmas party, and et cetera. So he laughed, and he said, well, you know, his wife was a school teacher, and she knew people, but said, she doesn't want to introduce you to anybody. Not the kind of person you are. You know, you're a druggie and everything. I said, oh, well, you know, I can be a nice guy. And but so she eventually, because we were all friends, and I even knew his wife from high school days as well. And she introduced me to this lady who, a blind date. She was divorced with the, you know, she had a couple of kids, but said when we met, picked her up, went on this Christmas party, but something told me this lady was different. Something had about her that I just didn't feel right. You know, at that time I used to just go out on date, meeting women and drinking and everything else and doing my thing. But this lady made me feel a little different. So when I took her home and dropped her off, I said, you know, there's something about you that I gotta be straight with you, because if we go out on another date, you gotta know what kind of guy I am. I said, because I gotta tell you. And she said, you don't have to tell me anything. I said, well, you know, she said, the only person you have to tell is you gotta tell Jesus. And I said, oh, well, what do you want me to do? She said, You just ask him, you know, to, and whatever things that you have done in the past. I said, well, yeah, I know Jesus. I used to go to Sunday school. You know, we celebrate Christmas and Easter and all that stuff. I said, but, you know, he said, but you need to have Jesus in your life. And I said, how can anybody get in my life? I said, I'm here, and you know, nobody can come inside of me. He said, oh, no, you have to receive him. I said, receive him? What do you mean by that? And so she explained to me, you know, you have to tell Jesus about all. You know, you have to tell me anything. You tell him and just ask him. I said, well, okay, to appease her, I said, okay, we'll go through it. And got down on my knees, and we were in her living room at that time, and got down on my knees, and she kind of led me in a sinner's prayer, and I prayed and asked Christ into my life. And then I opened my eyes and I said, hey, nothing happened. She said, what do you mean? I said, I'm waiting for the lightning or something, thunder or something supposed to happen. She said, you know, I did whatever you told me. She said, oh, no, don't worry about it. She said, you sure? You know, did he come? He said, yeah. I said, well, okay, I know about Jesus. I know a story about Christmas. He was born in Christmas and et cetera. I said, but you told me to, he got to come in my life now. So we'll leave it at that. Okay, so we said our good nights. I said, well, I'll see you and I'll let you know. And at that time, because I knew I was into all of this drug and everything else, I started to say, I need to do some exercising. So I used to do some running and swimming at Ala Moana Beach Park early in the morning. And I used to go down there at about 5:30 in the morning when it's still dark. And this was in December. December 20th, 1980 is when when I did this prayer. Well, you know, this is close to Christmas, and, you know, we're just a few days away from Christmas. But when I went running that morning, and, you know, I said, running on the sand and at Ala Moana Beach Park, and I said, you know, God, if, I don't know what I did. You know, I asked Jesus into my life, but I know his story of Christmas, and I went to church, and I know the story of Easter when he died, but, you know, I still cannot understand what this means. And as I was running in the dark, and I looked going toward Diamond Head, and right, just overlooking Diamond Head, I saw this one bright this star that was just shining, you know. And, you know, it was like God speaking to me. And it was like giving me that confirmation that what had happened, what I had done, and, you know, is that he told me that, you know, my son is real. And, you know, just looking at that bright star, I said, you know, it's that star that you know, shined over Bethlehem. And, you know, it was just something that, gave me such a confirmation that the tears started rolling down my face, and I just dropped down on the sand on my knees and said, Lord, thank you. Thank you for just telling me that
and maybe today, as Alvin, as you share, it's a sign that the Lord had given you when you saw the star shining so brightly in your search for God, in your search for hope and forgiveness and restoration and love. Maybe today, dear one, as you listen to Alvin Kawazoe share his story, maybe this is a sign to you of God's love for you. You may be searching and wondering, maybe even praying, maybe even said a prayer to accept Christ, and you wonder, what happened? What did I do? What's going on? And the Lord speaks to you through this moment, reminding you that he sees you and he knows you. And dear friend, he loves you. When we come back from our break, more. This is the beginning of the story, really, in so many ways. A transformation has taken place and has collected over decades of what God has done in the life of Alvin Kawazoe. He'll share of what the Lord Jesus has done in his heart. And whenever you hear someone talk about what Jesus has done in their heart, remember, these are things that the Lord can do in your heart as well. No one is so far that God cannot reach him or her. Today may be your day. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
It's a dark morning on December, very close to Christmas time. He's running on the beach, Ala Moana Beach, early seeking God and wondering what is happening in his life, because he's said a prayer to receive Christ just a few days before. And he sees a star shining ever so brightly just over Diamond Head, and he's amazed and touched and moved, brought to his knees because of a sign from God, a sign of love to Alvin Kawazoe. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here, Suzanne Maurer. This is a heart-to-heart moment with Alvin Kawazoe. You can get this program in its entirety at thegoodlifehawaii.com. It's one I believe you would want to share with someone, someone who may have struggled with drugs, someone who has experienced loneliness, maybe a broken relationship, broken marriage, who wonders about God's ability to bring hope and restoration. This program at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Alvin, what happened? Take us from there. On that day, you're on the beach, bowing before God, weeping. What did God do from there?
Well, after that day, that particular day, I had a desire to start reading the Word, reading the Bible, and I went back to that lady friend, and she gave me a paperback Bible, started reading, and told her, wow, where can I get a regular Bible, you know? A few days later, which was Christmas, that was my first Christmas present as a Christian. She gave me a regular I guess it was King James Bible at the time. And from that point, started to read the Word every chance I got. And the other thing that happened was that a day or so after that, that when I had received Christ, went home, back to my little apartment house where I had moved from the that house that I was living in, a room and home, to an apartment. And cold turkey. Opened my freezer where I had all my stash. Had all my alcohol. It went down the sink, threw it in the toilet, flushed it down, opened all the bottles, the cans, and started draining, just put it in the kitchen sink and stuff, throwing away all the alcohol and cocaine, the marijuana, and went to work the next day and told my friends, and they said, "Why didn't you give it to us?" Because I said, "Well, no,
I was afraid of that.
I said, "Oh, that's not good stuff anymore." I said, "You know, I don't do that anymore." And you know, they said, "Wow, you had so much and everything." I said, "Yeah, it just went down. It just flushed it all out and everything." So, and you start to find out that some of your friends aren't your friends when you don't have anything anymore. You know, and started thinning out, and you know, said, "Hey, you guys going out?" "Oh, well, you know, etc." And so I started, well, better start doing something different. Started one thing led to another, and my mom was, you know, bless her heart, I said, you know, when you guys have service and, you know, things of that nature. So I started to get involved, going to church, reading the Word, reading the Bible and everything else. And one day when I was in a service, and I was a Christian for maybe just about a year, or maybe even less. I guess about a year at its time. And heard this man give his testimony in part of the church service. And he said, how he goes into the prison every week. And I said, "Oh, so after the service," I approached him. I said, "Why do you go to prison? Those guys in jail because they deserve to be in jail. They're all crooks, you know." He said, "Oh no." He said, "Everybody needs to know Jesus." I said, "Yeah, but those guys, they're all bad." So he said, "Oh no, you need to. Everyone needs to know Jesus." I said, "Wow." He said, "Would you like to go?" I said, "No, I don't think so. I don't want to go in the kind of places where get all these bad guys." And he said, "Well, we're going to start going maybe into the detention home, and maybe you can try going there, because these are just, you know, young boys and girls, teenagers, or, you know." And I said, he said, "Would you be interested?" I said, "Well, I don't know. Maybe I can try." So he said, "Well, we're going to go next Sunday." He said, "You'd be willing to?" I said, "Well, okay, I'm going to try and see what happens." Well, that day, that led from going to the detention home for a few months, and one day he asked me, he said, "Would you like to try and go into the prison, that OCCC?" And I said, "Ooh, let me check it around first." I said, you know, detention home is one thing, because, you know, they're young kids, and, you know, they're smaller than you. You know, most of them, and there's some big guys, but the majority of them, the young kids and everything else. And but he said, you know, going into the OCCC, into the modules, and have Bible studies every week. He said, "Let me check first." So I approached Randy and Gay Hongo, and I told him, "I heard you guys go into prison." And Gay said, "Yes, we do." I said, "How can you go in there?" She said, "I just pray and ask the Lord, you protect us when we go in." So I said, "Oh, well, okay, I'll try and see." So I told him, and one thing led to another. So I went into with him, and the experience of going into OCCC for the first time was such an eye-opening experience, because you go through all these electric doors that close behind you, and it opens in front of you. You know, everything is, somebody else controls it. You don't have, you can turn or handle anything. It's all electrically controlled. And we went into the module, and there's only one correctional officer in the module, with houses maybe a couple of hundred guys. And I said, you know, I told my friend, I said, "What are we going to do?" He said, "Oh, we gathered these tables together, and they just announce whoever wants to come to the Bible study." So they announced on the PA system in the module, and they said, you know, Bible study. So this guy started coming. And this guy, who was about 2.5 times my size, I mean, he was one big Samoan guy, and he just came up to me, and never met him before, and he just came up to me, and he gave me one big hug, and he said, "Brother, thank you for coming." And it's, you know, first experience, I said, you know, I thought he was going to crush me, but oh, he was, and they all, you know, the rest of them, they are just so grateful for people coming in, and, you know, outsiders, just, you're not paid, you're a volunteer, just going into the prison system to just share the word of God with those who are incarcerated. And, you know, that led me to, I said, wow. And the guy who you know, started me all this, he's such a dear friend. He really means a lot. Because I learned at his side a lot, you know, just by being mentored and discipled, learning from him. And he always was, you know, just concerned about other people. And, you know, he was doing this, you know, on his own for a while. And I just said, you know, so often you go in, and he said, oh, you know, he was going in a couple times a week or so. It really brings me to, you know, to just sober in tears when I think of it, because that's your dad. David Yamashiro. He got me involved. In the prison ministry, and the first time went in there was in 1983, and we've been doing it ever since. David has since retired. He's moved on to Maui, and I go in with another brother, Brother Bobby Smith, and myself. We go into the federal prison now on a weekly basis, but it's been such a blessing to be involved, to you know, to just
so Alvin, 35 years later, you're still in prison ministry.
Yeah. when my wife was working as a volunteer at Collegian Church, and she, you know, I'm not a cook, okay, I don't cook. And so she was telling this other lady at church, she said, oh, I gotta go home and cook. And she said, oh, I'll come. She said, oh, because I gotta make dinner for my husband. Said, oh, yeah. Oh, she said, how come you gotta make dinner for him? Because he's going to prison. She said, what? So she said, oh, yeah, he goes to prison. She said, your husband going to prison? She didn't quite understand. So it took about another week or so before, you know, my wife explained to her. She said, oh, yeah, he goes, you know, he's involved with prison ministry. But it all got started because, oh, my friend David Yamashiro was so faithfully going in every week and all by himself for I don't know how many years before I first started going in, but you know, he just got us started. And oh, when the guys, we used to see him, you know, it was such a blessing to just, you know, working alongside him and seeing how he ministered and really got discipled and mentored by watching him, how he shares the word. And you know, it was just, you know, you don't have to give a sermon or preach, but just sharing the word with those guys in there, because oh, they're so hungry to know the word too. They got so much time in their hands, and one thing led to another. And David said, oh, you know, he was going into the high security at Halava prison, and he said, you know, I said, wow, that's even more than going into where you get a Bible study. You got a whole bunch of guys. He said, oh, but the high security is one-on-one. They can't even come out. You know, those guys are behind a closed door.
Mm-hmm.
So you go up to the closed doors and you slide this lesson to them every week. And then they do the self-study. And you come back next week, they give you the lessons back, completed, and you turn it in to the chapel, and then they correct it, et cetera. And David said, you know, I've been doing this for a while. He said, but I'm going to have to drop out. He said, would you be willing to continue? I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, he was going to seminary and, you know, to bio and where, you know, at that time. He said, wow, David, you know, you retired from the federal government. And he said, but yeah, he said, need to learn more of the word. And I said, you know, you're already so, you know, so well versed in everything. He said, oh, but he got to learn even more. So there was a time that, you know, after he kind of said, you know, he's going to move into California and going to school and everything else. And is when I just continued on, you know, at that time, taking over from whatever he did and you know, got involved with the prison ministry more and more. And you know, it was so exciting to see that, you know, eventually one day when David graduated from seminary,
mm-hmm.
it was a dual graduation because mm-hmm. both David and Danny graduated at the same time.
Yes, exactly.
And we celebrated together, didn't we?
Yep.
We celebrated together. You were there. You were there to celebrate with us.
Yeah, there was about 20-some from Cali.
I'm emotional here in Boston, just so that you know.
You know, Danny, I don't know if we have time, but if we do, he mentioned his wife. If we possibly can, I think we need to understand about Charlotte, because it wasn't the lady that gave him a Bible for Christmas.
No. Yeah, it was. Well, yeah.
Do we have time after our break?
Yes, when we come back from our break, we'll start there. And, of course, dear friend, as you listen, these things go back years, and relationship and love. And when we talk about love, the relationships that we have, they go back a long ways, and especially in Christ, as they carry on going forward, fruit continues to be born. But there's a relationship that Alvin has with his wife today, and when we come back, he'll share a little bit about how the Lord brought them together. See, the Lord has a plan for each of our lives, yours as well, dear friend. Yes, yours too. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives. how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Alvin Kawazoe joining us today, sharing his spiritual journey of faith from prayer, a foxhole prayer, to drugs, and the Lord showing him a shining star on the beach in December, and leading into a ministry, ministering to prisoners incarcerated for decades with the love of Christ. Welcome back to our show. Danny Yamashiro here, Suzanne Maurer, Alvin Kawazoe.
And Danny, he shared with us that God put a special blind date into his life. And she ended up giving him a Bible for Christmas, but that wasn't who God had for him. He had someone very special in mind. So I think, Alvin, we need to get to your joining the choir at Kalihi Union Church. Can you take us from there?
Oh, okay. Well, after I, you know, we, that lady that led me to the Lord and everything else, one thing led to another, but we went our separate ways, and I was just, you know, at KUC, Kali, and just going along and doing studies and everything else. And there came a time that in my new life as a Christian, I really was kind of needed another place to stay. And first of all, I stayed with a brother, Peter Galateria, and he allowed me to stay with him in his apartment for about 3 years. And I grew as a Christian with Peter and with David. And so, you know, that helped me in my walk. And when I got to the point that I need to find a new place, that's when I met Randy Hongo, and he said, "Oh, would you like to join the choir?" I said, "I don't know how to sing." He said, "Well, you know," he said, "we're going up to Mililani to start a new church, church at our house." So we went there, and on the way back is when, you know, I met Peter, and I stayed with him for that few years. But then I joined the choir after that, and met this lady who's in the choir. And I told her, I said, "You know, I'm looking for a place again." And he said, "I'm kind of in between jobs, and I needed another place. And do you know anybody or whatever?" And she said, "Well, I have a room that you can stay." And, you know, so one thing led to another. I moved in temporary, just so that I could get on my feet. And we became friends, and eventually, you know, after being friends, we ended up, I said, "Why don't we get married?" I said, "But we're kind of old, you know." We were already in our 40s, I guess. So somewhere around there, 30, in my late 30s, 40s, I guess. Well, this was in about 1980-something, so. when we finally did, and been happily married now for some about 35 years, I guess it was, when we finally got married and everything else. So we live in Klee area. My wife is also retired. She retired from Hawaiian Electric. And previously I think she was on this program maybe a while ago. But yeah, and she's the one that does all the cooking. She's a great cook because she does all the cooking, and I don't know how to cook. I can maybe turn on the rice cooker by pressing a button, but that's about the extent of what I know. But she loves the Lord, and so keeps me on the right path all the time.
I'm so glad you asked, Suzanne, and I'm so grateful for your sharing. Mm-hmm. This has really been a heartfelt time, and in that I feel your heart, and I feel God's heart of love. So thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for your openness and your love.
I want one last thing. I just want to put in a plug just to say that because you have been an influence to my family as well, my daughter and her family are now missionaries in Japan. And I just praise God for your ministry and how you have been so influential in their lives as well.
Jamie, and I love Jeff and Kelly and their family very, very much. Thank you for sharing that. Gripping words from Alvin Kawazoe. God's timing, my friend, is indeed perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, I believe this is a perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. And you may be incarcerated hearing Alvin share what he did today. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. And if you want to be a partner with us, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Alvin Kawazoe. Until next time, along with Suzanne Maurer, techno producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Nelson, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll